Just kidding.
Damn it.
You keep taunting us.
This is Pure Teching for January the 2nd, 2015. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and bad dick jokes. I'm Morps, and tonight we have Big Brother Lord.
Hi.
The BSV.
Hello.
Oh, that's the recording bot. And RU486.
ER.
That's going to be different.
Yeah, there you go.
So, recording box, say something, you lazy fuck.
Oh, no, 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 sorry.
There we go.
Anybody who doesn't know, we hear the sounds back through the recording box. So, that said, so anyways, of course, Happy New Year. I'm currently drinking some Jim Beam Red Stag. BSV, what do you have?
My usual Angry Orchard.
Very good, very good. Big, are you drinking anything interesting?
Chai tea.
Okay.
I'm out of whiskey. And,
well, I'm not sure that chai tea is exactly a... Are you? What are you drinking? You're Australian. Surely you've got something good.
And it's just a generic 4X bitter.
That'll work.
Mm-hmm. Any promised home.
So I am working on some interesting back-end stuff, maybe even get it into, you know, working before the end of the year. I've pretty much got a complete redesign for the back-end designed. I haven't built all of it. I've got parts of it put together. Back-end system, pretty much running everything on Linux now, and in a usable manner, unlike last time I tried to do that. And that's kind of what's slowing me down. Is it's like, well, fuck, I can just log in and use the command line. It's fine. I don't know what you guys are complaining about. But apparently that...
I has Lexix.
Yeah. There's that. So, and we're trying an interesting hardware experiment. I have ordered a ultra-wide monitor from Korea.
What?
Let us know how that goes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And for how long it goes.
Yeah.
I think that's the bigger question there.
Yeah, hang on a second. I'll pull up the specs on it. Because, I mean, for the price on it, it's pretty decent. It was a... yeah, lovely sounds of dead air as I pull up my email account because I can't remember the freaking model number.
Andy Griffith. Play it.
Yeah.
Gee golly!
Isn't that shit copyrighted, or is this class as fair use?
We're making fun of it. I don't think we're going to encourage anybody to not listen to it because we're playing the segment from an Insight commercial.
Is that where it comes from?
I have no idea where it came from. I've heard it in a ton of places.
Wow. It makes me feel like the side effects of those drugs won't kill me.
They won't.
There's only 80% of death, maybe.
What were we watching that day, BSV? And the American ads were on, and I'm just absolutely crapping myself because one of the side effects was may cause death.
Weren't we watching the riots outside the...
That's right, it was Riot Ball. I love that every time of year.
Halitosis, death, painful rectal itch. I mean...
No, it's just like some basic like muscle cream, and it'll one of bleeding. The side effects that was one of them. and the other bleeding. One was and the dude's like casual as fuck reading all these things out, and the side effect of death. Consult your doctor before using this product. And everyone's like smiling and walking in a park. I'm like, fuck off.
I have painful joints over possible death and
exactly, that's what it
bleeding
was. It was
from the ass. Thank you okay. very much.
Sorry. It's the crossover 290M, which where it's an off brand. It's actually got an LG panel in it.
Okay.
So I mean, it's not a bad piece of hardware, and I actually looked it up. It's a lot of people have ordered from this, and it's been fine. The only complaint I've really found about it is that because it's a ultra wide monitor, right? It's 250 by 1080 on the resolution.
250/60
Yeah, it's a bit, or 2560. I'm drinking 2560 by 1080. Yeah.
Any games got settings for that yet?
Some.
Okay.
But well, the reviews of the panel, at least, it'll scale well if they don't.
I was looking at the GTX 980 last week, and I'm still sitting in a puddle of drool right now. the resolution that thing goes up to on high definition is amazing. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
But at the low price of $980...
Yeah, that card is meant for driving dual 4K displays, though.
Yeah, it just looks amazing, and I just wanted to say that I've got it. I'd never use the specs for it properly, but what the hell?
Well, not hardware's kind of getting to the point where it's unless you're really getting into some specialized applications, you're really not going to hit proper use because there's no way to burn into some of it. I mean, I don't know. Star Citizen might really start pushing some of these graphics cards the way they're going, but that's less about any kind of advanced engine and more to the fact that they're just putting an insane amount of detail into it.
Yeah. So that's when I get my new graphics cards and fix the motherboard or get a new one. So
you know, I mean, you might be able to fix that if you know which sensor it is that's gone bad.
No way. I lack the skill and the talent, and even the guy that was that managed to actually put it in a cool room to actually get it up to boot, he went, no, I lack the talent and skill, and I doubt anybody else around here has it, so fuck it. I'll just get a different one.
Yeah, there's that. I mean, surface mount chips are such a bitch to deal with, too. And it depends on where it is on that board, and can you find the exact right part? And the real bitch with that is usually not can I find the exact right part, is can I find the exact right part without having to order 10,000 of them.
I'd rather just get the new board and have it put in, because as of what happened last year, I could not give a fuck. I'm never opening another case again in my life. I will pay someone else to do it. It is their problem then.
Well, fair enough. Right. Let's go on with the discussion topic I had for tonight. And I started out reading the article thinking it was a link bait or some stupid ad. But the article brings up a fun point, but it's not the point the article intends to bring up. So this is from Fusion.net. The Random Darknet Shopper, an automated online shopping bot with a budget of $100 a week in Bitcoin, is programmed to do a very specific task. Go to one of the popular marketplaces, or go to one popular marketplace on the deep web. God, nobody calls it that. And it's on Tor. Okay, they were going to the Silk Road, one of the Silk Road variants on Tor, and make one random purchase a week with the provided allowance. Does anybody else not see the bad idea here?
So far, I'm liking this.
The purchases have all been compiled for an art show in Zurich, Switzerland, titled The Darknet, From Memes to Onion Land. Really?
Wow.
Which runs through January 11th. The concept would be all gravy if not for one thing. The programmers came home one day to find a shipment of 10 ecstasy pills, followed by apparently very legitly falsified Hungarian passport. Developments of which have left some observers of the bot feeling a little uneasy. I like you know, the ecstasy pills are not all that unexpected. You figured they were going to end up with drugs, right? But the Hungarian passport. And they got it for less than $100. That's the fun part. So, if this bot was shipping to the U.S., ask Forbes contributor and University of Washington professor or Washington law professor contributor Ryan Kahlo, who would be legally responsible for purchasing the goodies, the coders, or the bot itself. In the U.S., Kahlo ponders criminal law is statutory, meaning the wording of the law would have to be taken into consideration. And then he goes through some examples of different laws where if they say something about if a person knowingly purchased, or because the law says knowingly purchased, well, this thing's set to buy crap at random, right? So it's not very smart, but it's they don't know what they're buying, so it's not illegal. Whereas other laws, you know, say a person may not engage in a behavior recklessly, and so then they would be responsible. So it literally did come down to what law are they being prosecuted under. Apparently, the art installation is right next to a police station, and they've gotten permission to keep the illegal items in for the art show. And the guys running it say they take total responsibility for the random crap that their program ordered. So, you know, that's out. But a very real question comes out of this article. If you have a truly autonomous system, right, whether it's a bot buying crap on the internet or maybe – say automated spreading like a botnet, you know what I mean? If the thing's totally automated and just kind of goes on its own, because, I mean, how many people running botnets have gotten caught and said, yeah, well, actually getting out was an accident? Not sure, the majority of them are just covering their butt. But you know, in all seriousness, if you were studying malware and it got out by accident, are you responsible for this code? Or, you know, who is responsible for this stuff? And, of course, the article was suggesting, is the bot itself responsible for it? Well, what are you going to do, put a computer in jail? Really?
The American government, I wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, that's true. They do bring charges against property all the time, but that's something mm-hmm. different. Usually it's cash when they do that.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious, because they're working towards drones that can make kill decisions in the military, yeah. Right? And I actually kind of think that's badass. But that point aside, if you have a drone and you just let it go and it's making kill decisions, who do you actually pin that responsibility on? The poor schmuck who flipped the switch to launch the thing? The guy who wrote the code? Okay, so you said the guy who wrote the code.
Hmm. Well, at the end of the day, it comes down to him.
Well, that's an interesting point, because what this got me thinking about was a subject that I've thought about before from a security standpoint. Architectural engineers, people who make bridges and buildings, they can actually be held legally liable for bad designs.
Yeah.
In a modern law system. I mean, of course, you always hear the story of Roman architects were made to stand under a bridge while the army would march across it, right?
There you go.
Yeah. So if engineers building physical structures can be held to this degree of culpability for a mistake in their design, how long before we start seeing this for people who design software and computer networks and programs? I mean, fuck, I bang out little scripts all the time that just go out on the network and do things. If one of those got pointed at the wrong subnet, it'd be a bad day. So,
pretty sure you're going to be held accountable at that.
I would, because it's my little script and I'm the one running it, but that's where things even get weirder, right? What if you're not the person running the code? What if I wrote some attack code, sent it to RU to study, and RU accidentally ran it and it got out? Am I responsible because I wrote the damn thing, or is RU responsible because he was the one that ran it?
Well, wouldn't we have to have a contract under that? That I would take all responsibility for the code at that point?
No, not if I'm just sending you a text file with code in it. If I'm just sending you a file saying, here, look at this, see what you think.
Yeah.
You know, just as like your friendly, hey, look at this. And you ran
maybe these friendships need to get a little bit more formal when we're talking about stuff that could actually damage structures or networks.
Yeah, but dude, the end game of that is the shit where you get to the condoms with the contract on them that both parties have to sign before you have sex, so you can't be charged with rape.
Hey, I didn't think it would go this way 10 years ago either, but lo and behold, look where we stand today, man. You know, the world is forever progressive.
Unfortunate, but...
But this is what it's coming down to. Responsibility, is not on my head. It's not on my head. It's not in my backyard, you know?
That's true. Well, I mean, I'm just thinking, in all seriousness, how long before we start seeing, you know, the computer operator's license to use anything more than an iPad?
This is what it's going to come down to. You've been talking about this for the last 4 years, 5 years.
As long as you've known me.
Yeah, pretty much. And you're right. It's going to come down to it because there is going to be a critical incident one day. If not staged, it'll be an accident or something like that. Somebody will install something on a major critical system and a lot of people will die. Of course, they'll call it hackers and blah, blah, blah. But certainly nobody can be... Yeah, because they can take down Sony. Yeah.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, because you'd have to be a fucking retard or living under a rock to think that North Korean hackers took down Sony.
Now, to be fair, I would not put it past North Korea hiring somebody to do this, but I very much doubt they have the infrastructure to do any of it on their own.
Work for North Korea?
The only reason I say that, well, people have done it, but they've got a record of hiring mercs, basically. So
there's America, but it's not. Yeah, you know, it's. I just can't see it. There's no way.
They don't give a fuck about some stupid movie. I don't even have the story. Did you see the article where somebody's gonna, you know, fire via catapult that copies of that movie into North Korea? I mean, really?
Good luck to them.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think anybody in North Korea cares about that stupid movie?
They're too busy worrying about food.
But I just cannot see Kim Jong-un being that butthurt over something that small.
No. I really would hope not, but... And even if he was, and he started to do something stupid, China'd smack him down.
But anyway, the movie sucked ass.
I haven't seen it. I don't know.
It's a pile of shit. But
well, that explains why they concocted this crazy ass story to promote it and cover up the fact that Sony really did get hacked and had all kinds of information leaked. The interesting thing is, if you go look at the timeline, nobody was talking about that movie as a response to the hack for weeks.
Nope.
So, anyways,
I know
that
I followed it all because I didn't play games for a month, and I had nothing better to do.
But that point aside, meanwhile, back at the point, in all seriousness, when it comes down to designing computer systems, if you're a sysadmin and your system gets hacked, can you be held culpable for building a bad system?
Honestly, right now, the answer is no. If you're not now, you should be in the future.
Okay, so I honestly, we're not there yet, and we don't have robots that are that good yet, but we will. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see the development of them. You can plot it. 25 years from now, we'll have basic AI. I have no doubt.
It'll be
specialized. It'll be like, you know, making basic kill decisions for drones or... You know, like I think they were talking about using automated air traffic control systems, letting computers plot that. And I mean, I could see it being specialized, but I have no doubt that we'll basically be trusting all these major operations to what is effectively class one AI.
Well, look at the Google car or those automated cars. That's basically
it's a self-driving car.
It's a tiny little. It's not completely like serving you coffee and shit like that. One, maybe it could.
No, we're not. We're not going to see that for a long time. Hell, we may never see that. Truthfully,
you know, we're getting close.
I've got members of my family who got Roombas for Christmas, and were absolutely fascinated by these things. And it's like, I start trying to explain how they work, and they don't want to hear it. They don't want to care. They think it's this little intelligent thing. No, it's just random pathing and remembering where it's gone.
Did you, strap a steak knife to it and then let it go off to the cat?
No, but that sounds pretty funny. I'm just seeing two Roombas with knives or other attachments going at them BattleBot style.
Yeah.
Robot battle!
The problem is, after you've had the 27 drinks it takes to come up with that, you forget about it in the morning and your Achilles tendon gets cut.
Oh! Just, yeah, robot
bad
runs
Roomba,
up.
No!
Now, okay, now here, there's an honest question for you. So, you're stabbed by a Roomba in the morning after a night of drunken debauchery. Are you responsible? Is the Roomba responsible? Is the knife manufacturer responsible?
Is the alcohol manufacturer responsible? Because it's so, those letters are so small when it says drink responsibly. But
is the school system responsible
because they didn't teach me the proper English skills that I needed to read the words drink responsibly? No shit, that is going through the courts right now, I guarantee you.
Oh. Okay,
there's someone in America suing someone for alcohol fetal syndrome, and they're bringing the school system into it for bad English or some shit.
I've got a fun lawsuit story later in the show notes there. But I just... it's a fun concept to toy around with, that if you start building these automated systems and they do something bad, are you responsible or not? And of course, the obvious answer is, of course you're responsible. Whoever set the damn thing up is responsible. When it comes down to, if you're a network admin and your system gets hacked, well, how did they get in? Was that something new? Was it something known? You actually have to trace it back and see, was it an incompetent sysadmin, or did you have somebody maybe set a stupid password somewhere? And then the question is, well, why'd you let the user set a stupid password? Then, of course, the sysadmin at that point looks at the manager and says, because you told me to turn off the complexity requirements for passwords because it was pissing people off. But that point aside, not bitter at all.
It shows that you just don't even think about that anymore.
This is why we drink. Anyways, to forget.
No, I just have a little side story on people not understanding complexity of systems.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so with this whole plane disappearing again, the television board up in front of a heap of people that I was with at the time, why don't we just go with real-time live tracking of every plane?
We do.
And everyone in the rooms, not a, that you could get on your phone and shit like that, things like that. And everyone's like, that's a great idea. It'll only cost about $1 million a plane. No, you're going to require extra satellites to start with. And the data center alone for that is going to be massive. Then there's the people that you're going to have to employ to set up, then run that data center, and the housing requirement and everything like that. It's going to cost a lot more than $1 million a plane. No, it won't. You don't need any of that. And I am, once again, the idiot in the room who's overthinking things. Just saying.
Well, there's already a shit ton of tracking equipment in modern aviation. I mean, air traffic control has a good rough idea of where a plane is at most times.
Yeah, dude, I have no problem with the modern system. Well, the older systems we have running that. This new idea that they're throwing around, it was just retarded because it was going to add so much extra money, is what I was trying to get to. People are like, no, it'll be cheap. If you can track a car, you can track a plane.
Well, actually, our car tracking is not all that fantastic. If you've ever done geocaching, you'd know just how inaccurate those things can be. The reason it works is because it's snapping to a series of known roads. But
trying to explain that to people somehow just seems to leave them perplexed and looking at you like you're the retard. So I give up now. 2015, I am going to be the dumbest fuck in the room because I'm not going to open my mouth anymore. I'm just going to sit down, shut the fuck up, and let them say the dumbest shit in the world and have a little chuckle to myself. And then run over to the corner and kick the shit out of the cat. Because someone has to feel bad for this. And it's not going to be me. The cat will.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to get the hate mail. You're going to kick a cat? What? Well, anyway.
Let's quick, we'll distract
you. Sard.
Yeah, it was Sard's idea for me to kick the cat, just saying, just putting that out there.
All right, let's start doing our news stories here. First one up is from time.com, and the story's in specifically for you, because I know you appreciate this one. Yeah. A New Zealand man thought to have been fighting with the Islamic State in Iraq and Greater Syria, ISIS, inadvertently revealed his precise location by posting geotag tweets, security researcher revealed. Abdu Abdal Rahman, also known as Mark Taylor. I just love that line. Abdu Abdal Rahman, also known as Mark Taylor, left New Zealand to join the fight with ISIS in May 2012. Soon after, he tweeted that his mission to Syria was a one-way trip and featured a picture of his burned passport. The Guardian reports Taylor has since deleted 45 tweets after learning that they were geotagged with his precise coordinates. Whoops. Security researcher Jeff Weirs, who runs an open source intelligence group called iBredo. It sounds like a sex toy. iBredo?
Does.
Really?
Or a haircare product.
Yeah, I could say. Or like Marlon Brando kind of thing. I don't know. Use the tweet geolocation information to place Taylor in a specific house in the Syrian town of Al-Takba. I'm hoping I said that right.
Al-Taco.
Since he first traveled to Syria, Taylor has reportedly been in touch with the New Zealand passport office to get a replacement travel document, but hasn't heard back.
Yeah.
Like, it's terrible, it's pretty, here. I want to go home.
Yeah, that caliphate sounds great on paper, doesn't it? The amount of Australians that have done that too. Oh, look, I'm burning my passport, never coming back. Can I come back now? It's just not really working out like I thought it would be like this. Yeah.
Have you watched, have you seen the latest Sargon of Akkad video? It's actually long. He does a full year in Stupid.
No, I haven't. I'll have to check
that
early
out. Early on, he starts wailing on people who've done that. He's like, yeah, war sucks, doesn't it, dummy? But yeah, it's funny.
It's just surprising that the most violent of us also seem to be the dumbest.
I wonder why.
All right, I just love that the terrorist who doing his social media geotag tweets. Like, I'm over here. I'm over here.
Hey, hello.
I just sent a Echo tweet. 2 to Echo anybody 1. Anybody hear a missile?
Well, we've already got the cops watching Facebook. I mean, why not, right?
I want to join the police force just for that. I wish you could. That would be great.
Join the police force and just, watch social media and be like, mm-hmm. Yep, go arrest this guy, this guy, this guy. And oh god, that guy.
Yeah. I don't believe being a fat advocator is illegal, sir. Fuck it, do it anyway. This guy just dresses in a dog suit. Do it anyway.
Plant something on him, just.
Yeah.
Sprinkle a little crack on him, it'll be fine.
What's illegal about 9 Tumblr accounts? Start reading this. Fucking
oh,
will
God.
Execute him.
We have to lock him up for the safety of others.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're thinking about it now, aren't you?
Just a little too much. Especially with the FBI story I have done. This story is from ArsTechnica.com. The National Security Agency's Office of Target Pursuit. God, that's a name, isn't it? The NSA's Office of Target Pursuit. I'd like to apply for that job. I don't know why. That just sounds like fun.
I'm a Target Pursuit Officer, sir. Category 6.
We need to make business cards for the station, and we need to make up some just massively crazy offices like this. Target Pursuit. I don't know. I'd make up something better later. Anyways, maintains a team of engineers dedicated to Office of Conspiracy Management. Maintains a team of engineers dedicated to cracking the the encrypted traffic of virtual private networks and has developed tools that could potentially uncloak the traffic in the majority of VPNs used to secure traffic passing over the internet today, according to documents published this week by the German news magazine Der Spiegel. A slide deck from a presentation. Yeah, I know. But
Der Spiegel, Dagen.
It's okay. Actually a very reputable newspaper, dude.
They are.
They were the ones that did the WikiLeaks along with The Guardian. They also did the Bradley Manning stuff. And the... the Snowden, Ericsson.
Yeah. I mean, Der Spiegel is not a bad paper, but they are kind of politically charged. They haven't been nearly as bad about that in a long time, though. A slide deck from a presentation by a member of OTP's VPN exploitation team, dated September 13th, 2010. So think about it. This is 4 years behind. Details the process the NSA has used at that time to attack VPNs, including tools with the names drawn from Star Trek and other bits of popular culture. Literally, the story makes reference to the fact that the NSA calls their VPN tool the Vulcan Death Grip.
What?
Yep.
Seriously?
Yep. OTP's VPN exploit team had members assigned to branches focused on specific regional teams, as well as cross-target support branch, and a custom development team for building specialized VPN exploits. At the regional level, the VPN team representatives acted as liaisons to analysts providing information on new VPN attacks and gathering requirements for specific targets. They've got some fun names in here. By 2010, the NSA had already developed tools to attack VPN encryption schemes SSH, IPsec, and SSL. So, yeah, all the griping people have been doing about SSL lately, you think the NSA didn't know about that crap 4 years ago? Let's see. NSA has a specific repository for capturing VPN metadata called ToyGrip. It's spelled funny, but ToyGrip. Really? The repository stores information on VPN sessions between systems of interest, including their fingerprint for specific machines which our VPN services are connecting to, key exchange network information. It all goes into X key score. Here we go. When an IPsec VPN is identified and tasked by NSA analysts, according to the presentation, a full take of its traffic, so they grab as much of the packet capture as they can, is stored in Vulcan Death Grip, a VPN data repository. So they put goofy names on their data, on their disk spindles, basically. A VPN repository. There are similar separate repositories for PPTP and SSL. So PPTP is named Fourscore, and that actually kind of makes sense since PPTP is old. And SSL is named Vulcan MindMeld.
Little huge trackies.
Yeah. They had some other funny ones in here. If the traffic is of interest, successfully cracked VPNs are then processed by a system called Turtle Power and stored in the NSA's
God,
X key stores from traffic. Okay, that's enough. The NSA has been trying to crack VPNs for years and apparently has been moderately successful. So don't trust your VPN to fully protect you if you're doing horrible things.
We need to make a shirt that says, "I work for the NSA, but I love Star Wars and prefer Shredder." My workday sucks.
Honestly, is it any surprise that the geeks running these systems would name these systems like geeks would?
No, but if it's an agency that you fear, like, Your Honor, Exhibit 38X, when we use Turtle Power, to find out the subject was downloading gigabytes of porn on children. He like, fucking hell, man. How do you prosecute using these names?
Go ahead, Big.
I guess it's better than the alternatives. HAL, Skynet.
Dude, that sounds like death from above. Come
on. You know, when I'm helping run networks, I try to come up with a naming scheme and, make them stick to it so you can actually tell what these systems are. Because a big problem you usually have in IT shops is turnover. So trying to figure out what mail server was on what planet gets really old really fast.
Server 1, server 2, server 3.
No, mail server 1, mail server 2, DHCP server. That's what you do. It's actually really terrible for somebody trying to enumerate your network, but it's from a security perspective, it's not so great. But from management, it is worth taking the security hit of somebody else being able to figure out what stuff is inside your system by grabbing your DNS. So, yeah.
You mean you can't tell what Vulcan Mind Meld and Twitter Power are just from hearing them?
Well, one involves a Vulcan mind melding with a turtle.
I love and one's my porn folder.
So, granted, I used to have a file server called Elsewhere, so I guess I can't speak too much about it, but I just, that was always great fun. Where is it? It's Elsewhere. I gotta get really mad at a LAN party doing that. I mean, really mad. I thought I was gonna get hit.
I had a friend who had a computer, and this is truly a friend's story, not myself, because I never had a computer at home. But his home computer, where he kept stashed his porn that his mom wouldn't find, was Virus Vault, Do Not Ever Run. 2 days. 2 days his mom found that file in all his porn. Like, she was quite willing to click on Virus Vault, Do Not Run.
That mom is an idiot.
Yeah, but the kid's an even bigger fucking idiot for even leaving it on there.
No. That's when, you know, if you're trying to hide your porn, you know, you do like the guy in that presentation we saw, and, you know, you hide all your Prager porn in Nickelback videos.
Nickelback. On that note, I'm getting another beer.
So. Oh. Well, while we let RU get his other beer here, I don't know, BSV, you had any thoughts on this? I hadn't.
The
NSA using stupid names. We knew they were trying to crack VPNs. I mean, what a surprise, right?
Yeah. I understand, yeah, there are geeks involved, but I would think a government organization would have at least something that...
Something resembling a professional standard?
Yeah. They sure love their acronyms. Why couldn't they just go with more acronyms?
You know, that's
those
true.
Are actually acronyms. I don't want to know what some.
That's a, you know, if you've got a naming scheme that is documented somewhere, so when you bring somebody else in, they can read up on it and figure out where it's from, but it's completely foreign to everybody else. That's good. That's secure and clear. So that's a good point. If you've got that, you know, series of acronyms, and God knows the government loves those.
So. I have no distribution. I can't speak right now. I was going to make a joke of my name being an acronym, but I messed up with the English language.
Hell, I didn't know your name was an acronym for a long time. I just thought, you know, BSV, whatever. So, but, now, I laughed long and hard when you finally told me what it stood for. Like, really? That's fantastic.
And our listeners will have to... Well, I'm sure one of the shows said it, so... Go back and listen to everything.
Again. I don't know that we've ever said it on any of the shows. Maybe one of the early IHNs might have said it.
Bacon sucks veg out, it means.
No.
Close. Well,
we'll make a contest to come up with a new acronym for BSV. If anybody happens to hit the old one, that'll be just be funny. So, let's see.
Oh,
next story.
I just got one, but it's really inappropriate.
I'm sorry, have you not been paying attention to the rest of the show?
No, I'll tell everyone later when BSV's is gone.
Thanks.
Wow.
Oh, but when we're just not live.
All right, speaking of acronyms, this next one's from the BBC.com. Apple is facing a lawsuit for not telling users about the amount of memory required by its flagship operating system. This is hilarious. The legal complaint revolves around iOS 8 and the amount of memory it reserves for itself on iPods, iPhones, and iPads. For the record, Apple has completely discontinued the iPods at this point, haven't they? The old ones?
I never owned one.
I think they might mean the touches. The complaint alleges that it takes so much space that far less than advertised is less for people to store their own data. So, never mind the fact that that's been common practice in computing for how long now? they're saying that the operating system takes up so much room on an iPhone that you're not getting anywhere near the space that you think you're getting when you buy it. And saying it's false advertising. The complaint has been filed in California by Miami resident Paul Orshan and Christopher Edgarna, who say that iOS 8 can occupy up to 23.1% of memory available on some Apple devices. In addition, upgrading devices from earlier iOS 7 to 8 can cause people to lose up to 1.3 gigabytes of memory. And papers filed in the support of the legal action, blah, 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 is helping Apple force people to sign up for its fee-based iCloud storage system. So far, Apple has not responded to comment. Apple issued a public apology over the botched update. Oh, that's when they had a bad version of iOS 8 rollout. So yeah, somebody's suing Apple because the phone says it's got 16 gigs in it, but when you go to use it, you only end up with like 12 because the operating system takes up space. Yay for not understanding how computers work.
I just thought it was common knowledge, so. I have a 150-bit, drive, and it's going to run my operating system.
Yeah, that takes up space. I mean,
where did it all go? Oh, no, now I don't have 150. Oh, I better sue them. Fuck off. That's why you own Apple, because you're a fucking idiot.
All right. Guess nobody's got anything else on that one.
Well, what else can you say about it, though?
They're idiots.
It's not understanding that, that's the kitchen blender. Oh, I'm going to put a plastic device on that and then put my penis in it, and it'll be fine because I put plastic over. Yeah, Big knows what I'm talking about. And everything will be fine. It's just like...
The instructions don't say not to do that.
I'm going to put diesel in my petrol car because it's all fuel at the end of the day. it doesn't make any sense. Like, of course, you buy a device and it has a terabyte worth of memory. But it has to have an operating system. I know that. You know that. God damn it. If anything, Apple, hide your shit, petition it, and claim it has this much. But, they've got to big up their shit because it's crap. Why don't you just buy a standard MP3 player and be done with it?
But then people will know how pretentious I am.
I can paint it white with your fucking whatever. I don't care. Go away, Apple users.
You know how I have that laptop that has a screen on either side of the lid? I was in a meeting where everybody else had a MacBook. So, just to fuck with them, I went online, got an Apple wallpaper, clicked the screen on, and threw the wallpaper on the back and said, "See, I fit in too!"
Nice.
Nobody got it.
Every now and then it should have just had static coming across and then flash for 1 second that said Apple is shit. Subliminal
messaging.
Or
a giant cock.
A giant, there you go. Splicing single frames of pornography.
No, just have the Apple slowly turn reveal and an evil face.
I have Googled Welcome to the Internet and just had that running as a slideshow on the outer screen in a meeting before. That's great fun watching a guy trying to give a presentation, a vendor trying to keep their shit together with these stupid ass images scrolling across the back. It's like, what's going on? I have no idea.
I didn't know how to use my own computer. I'm sorry. They didn't hire me for my smarts, it's for my looks.
Yeah.
I'm from the special intern hiring group. The one with the helmets that come on the small bus.
They specifically hired us for the shiniest helmet.
I've worked in 17 different IT companies up till today, and my resume is only 7 years old. That's how good I am at IT.
Well, actually, are you? That's a good transition. The next story here is from the Chicago Tribune. The FBI said Monday it's seeking technology experts, including those with experience in ethical hacking.
What?
What?
Cyber special agents. Cyber permeates every aspect of what we do.
Big's got a chubby right now because this is his language.
Talk to me about cybering warps.
Yeah, permeate all over me, bad boy.
I can't even finish the sentence. It's so wrong. Nobody remembers that cyber used to mean cyber sex, do they?
No.
I do.
Well, it's like, you see people in government throwing this word around so much. Cyber permeates every aspect of what we do.
I could just see a whole row of FBI agents in those little, not cubicles, like the round desks with the glass partitions. Oh, yeah, they're all cybering.
This is a guy walking through, like,
and here's our cyber division.
Oh, yeah.
The language reminds me of, like, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas when they're at the conference there on how bad marijuana is.
Whether it's okay, I'm going to try one more time. Cyber permeates every aspect of what we do. Whether it's counterterrorism, criminal investigations, or traditional cyber attacks. Cyber attacks on the totally wrong context. Mom?
I attacked a 12-year-old. Oh, wait. That got weird.
That was a guy, dude. That was just some guy. Right?
He was bombing the cubicle next to you.
As we've seen in the recent past, the FBI said. North Korea, for example, is at the center of a confrontation with the United States over the hacking of Sony Pictures. I love how North Korea is in a confrontation with the United States over the hacking of meanwhile back over here at the topic, isn't Sony a Japanese company? Shouldn't Japan and North Korea be going at it if North Korea really
you're trying to apply logic,
right?
It depend what division of Sony got hacked.
Sony is
a Japanese company, but where do they have their video? I think it's in America, isn't it?
Yeah, that's where they produce most of their movies. That's true. The hacking is believed to be tied to the interview. No, it's not. The FBI seeks highly talented, technically trained individuals who are motivated by the FBI's mission. I really have a hard time getting motivated by the FBI's mission because I've talked to some of those people, and believe me, I really had a hard time getting motivated by them. To protect our nation and the American people from rapidly evolving cyber threat. Yes, yes, horny guys in chat rooms. Robert Anderson J., Executive Director, Assistant for the Bureau's Criminal Cyber Response and Services Branch, said in a statement Monday. In the job post, which is open until January the 20th, the agency said it has many vacancies for cyber special agents. Such agents, or the FBI said, should have the skills to conduct multifaceted investigations of high-tech crime, including cyber-based terrorism. There's that word again. Computer intrusions, online exploitation, and major cyber fraud schemes. Preferred backgrounds and work experience include computer forensics, computer programming, and ethical hacking, according to the job posting. One way to get a resume to stand out at the FBI, get certified in ethical hacking. Really?
What exactly is ethical hacking?
It's a low-end, entry-level cert that says you know how to use Nmap and Metasploit, basically.
Can I get a cert in ethical burglary?
You laugh.
Yes, BSV, for just $29.95 a month, you can sign up to my course. Oh, sorry, that's ethical fraud. I'm sorry.
Same thing.
Okay, there really, for the record, there really is a cert called ethical hacking, and it's not a bad cert. But it's not this fantastic end all be all that a lot of people make it out to be. Now, it probably is better than the CISSP, but that's a different. For the record, I don't have any hardly. Well, I got a couple of the A-plus stuff from early days, but I don't have any of the modern computer security certs. I've just got experience now. Like years in the industry, does that count? No, we need a certification. Okay, have a nice life. It means you don't know what you're asking. I'm not saying certs are bad. I'm just not a fan of them being the end-all, be-all of determining if somebody knows what they're on about. So,
yeah, it's pretty much like anything there. Jobs, qualifications for the job may not make you right for the job, if you know what I mean.
I've interviewed a guy who he was interviewing for information security. And he had all kinds of Cisco certifications and Microsoft certifications. And he ended up taking a job on the help desk because he didn't want to go into internet information security. He wanted to go into networking. And he thought that would be a faster way to get into networking than going through our department, which I thought was kind of strange because you need to know networking already to do security, but okay. He couldn't work the phones. Like basic IP phones, an amazing amount of certifications. He could not work the phones, and he did not have a job for very long because he sucked at help desk.
That sounds exactly like a guy that used to work at my first technical job. He got in, he was one of the lead developers. They quickly realized he was a fucktard, so they moved him to phone sales. They realized, again, he's a fucktard and doesn't know how phones work, so they moved him to accounting. Shortly after that, I got a $5 paycheck. He didn't last long.
Wow.
Yeah. And the reason I have that opinion is I've seen a lot of people who, they didn't learn the technology. They didn't learn how to do what you needed to do. They learned how to take a test. They studied a book and then answered all the right questions on the test and had no clue how to actually do the job. I know that's not the intention of the cert, but that's what happens.
It's you'd be surprised. It's across the whole hiring and firing board, man.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right. I don't have the certificates, and at this point, I'm never going to bother getting them because the prices they're charging for them now. Yeah, we have to pay for education now. It sucks. As of the 1st of January. So, yeah, that $90,000 piece of paper to get a job. No, thank you. I'll just stay unemployed. Thanks. What I used to do, people coming out of university after 4 years with their fucking doctorate in it, and you'd watch them, they have no clue. And within 3 months, they've had to move into admin because they can't work with mental disability, even though they've got the certification for it. They can't handle it. It destroys them within 3 months. Most of them were moved into admin. Yet the people who really wanted to do it went and did the 14-week starter course, and then you have to go and keep studying while you work to pay for your study. You know, you're the guy that walks into class going, "Yeah, I had that last week, and how you said in the book that it's meant to be done, it doesn't work because this happened, and then that happened, and that happened. How would you do it? Just do what's in the book." But it doesn't work. Doesn't matter. They don't care, man. Education's bullshit. I think all jobs should be on-the-job training. You're interested in it, they hire you on for, like, apprenticeship wages, or the first year is an internship, just to prove that you want the job. Then it's like one quarter of the pay, then two thirds of the pay, and then you, on your fourth year, if you're showing promise, then they may give you just under what the yearly salary is, and then after the 4 years, you're qualified. Bang, you get the job.
Well, but apprenticeships, what people did before higher education and public schools,
pretty much, but not brain surgery. I don't want brain surgeons to do that. Anybody operating on people, this is not the way.
Like, what, you don't want an apprentice operating on you?
This is the budget school of brain surgery. Here you come in, get your tumor out, and well, we hope you keep you might be able to speak when you're done.
Yeah, my left leg was the one that needed surgery, so why is my right arm missing? Yeah. There are certain jobs where on-the-job training should be it. You know, we have the level of skill within these jobs now that they're not like, well, no one really knows yet how it's going to work out, like computing, when it really started up, what, late 50s, 60s? Those dudes were like real pioneers. But now we've got to the level of tech guys like you and certain other people and dudes who are just fucking out there with ideas of design for things. I think there is a role for apprenticeships within businesses these days. Instead of going to school, massing bullshit amounts of debt, and then being unable to even get into entry-level housing but before you're 50. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
But would destroy the entire... would destroy the entire business model of education then.
That's not a bad thing. I've worked in education. It's not a bad thing at all.
Sorry, Big, I cut you off there.
That's all right. That's actually pretty close to how we still do electricians. You go from journeyman to apprentice to master, I think.
Yeah, well, hell, even medical profession, do the 8 years of school, they still have to...
You're still a resident.
Yeah, a resident, which is basically an apprentice.
Yeah, and so. that's a great way of doing it, because that you do need, and trust me, doing some sort of medical stuff like I did, holy shit, that is some tricky stuff, man.
Especially I couldn't deal with what you were dealing with, man.
Especially
when you get
into, I was qualified to hand out every medication up to narcotics.
Yay!
And the only ones I really wanted to hand out, but that was to myself. But yeah, it gets complicated when you're trying to administer, say, some sort of insulin, and you're just guesstimating height, body weight, and body temperature. It's always fun and heart rate. And you have to do it within the 2 minutes allocated before the person goes into a coma.
I could see. I couldn't deal with the mentally disabled, man. It would just eat at me too much.
Yeah, so. I can't deal with computers, man. It eats at me. People are easy. Like, I'd rather work with the wet net than the dry net. You know what I mean? The wet net's easy to play with. Dry net's hard.
Well, I mean, you know, when you watch somebody, I mean, even if you know, like, you know, they're not all there upstairs, but there's still some of the stuff they do, man. It's like, I drew on the walls. That's shit on the wall, isn't it? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it is. I couldn't deal with that.
Yeah, I'm but two like... crayons come in many colors.
Oh, God.
Okay, technically, that's not a medical term. Do not write that down on the test.
Crayons. Thank you.
See, I'm that kind of shit now. Right there, I thought I was making it up. But no. No, see that right there. That tells me you've dealt with that problem before. And there it's you like, go. You know what? Fuck.
I'm still like, I've actually started taking another online course last night of, it's called OS. It's Object Sexuality, where people fall in love with bridges, cars, inanimate objects.
Oh, God, don't tell Tumblr.
Yeah, I studying about this, reading about this woman who's been in love with many objects, and her fixation right now is the Eiffel Tower. And case study of another woman who was a very, very talented individual. She was an engineer and a train driver, and got fired from her job for making love to the train in the train yard after hours.
That raises the question of if somebody's in love with the Eiffel Tower, are they going to try to climb all the way to the top to, I'm going to just go straight on to the next story now before I finish that
for the best.
You deal with OSs. I'm looking to deal with OSs.
This is from netloid.com, and, you know, showing that, you know, the human race truly is doomed. City Lit College in London is currently offering a selfie course. And the path to the perfect profile pic. The course, which is officially called The Art of Self-Portraiture, they came up with a better name for it, The Art of Self-Portraiture, promises to improve your critical understanding of the photographic self-portrait and is being offered in the City Lit and Adult Education College in Covent Garden, London. The course promises appreciation and critique of visual work from a variety of practitioners, recurrent ideas and concepts that surround self-portraiture, brief inquiry into the notions of identity, selfhood, and memory. Really? Group discussions, informal critics, and project development, evaluation of students' previous photography in relation to the topic, and a final critique of work produced during the course. They're taking that very seriously. Again, the human race is, in fact, doomed.
Yeah.
At this point, I can't wait. Fuck it.
All right, next story. You have something, are you?
No. I was just dwelling on the whole idea of fuck it, I can't wait.
All right, I'm just going to summarize this next story. No reason to read the whole thing. It's from The Verge. Google has published a Windows 8.1 vulnerability. It is a privilege escalation vulnerability, so if you're like a regular user, you can become an admin. The fun part about this one is that they gave Microsoft the 90 days notice that they found this vulnerability. Microsoft didn't fix it, so Google went ahead and published it. So that's, I find that interesting because it means it's not that big of a vuln because it's just privilege escalation. Privilege escalation is important, so when I say it's just privilege escalation, that it's still a big deal, but it's not like remote code.
So, privileges people.
Well, it could be bad, like, you know, for drive-by downloads and shit like that, for getting up to admin, even if you're running as a limited user. But the sad truth is that on most Windows boxes, everyone's already running as admin, so...
Or you're in a corporate environment and you're getting pissed because you can't plug a USB dongle in, so you just privilege escalate yourself, and, you know, fuck. While I'm at it, I really need this video codec for when I watch videos at lunch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, free iPad. Click.
Oh, no. Oh, make it stop. Anyways, last story up here tonight is from Ars Technica. Apparently, Microsoft is not going to make Internet Explorer 12. They're going to stop at 11 and pick a new name for the next version of the browser on the next release of Windows.
Yeah, he's something else to make fun of.
Yep, the current version is codenamed Spartan.
Oh.
So yeah, they're dropping the Internet Explorer brand, probably because everybody is, you know, in the tech industry just assumes it's terrible. But
damn, so we're going to have to go through a whole another 2 years of this is Sparta jokes.
Probably. But basically it uses the same Trident page rendering engine and Chakra JavaScript engine, so it's still going to be IE12. They're just going to change the name. So, yeah, it's the same browser engines. It's just different name.
I can see the first one already. It's going to be that classic moment in the scene where the guy yells, "This is Sparta," but halfway through it's just going to stop, shut down, and want to update itself. You know, before he kicks him in the hall.
I kind of hope they keep the Sparta name and actually, you know, make a deal with the 300 movie guys to theme it. And like, you know, when you launch it, just, you know, you hear Leonidas yell, "This is Sparta." Because at least then you'd get some comedic value out of using the thing, right?
But you fire it off, it won't even get to, it'll just be, "This is..." and freeze up.
Probably.
Yeah.
You know how many people... I it was such an achievement. I got my parents off Internet Explorer.
Well
Firefox
done.
Firefox with Adblock. Oh, my God.
That's harder than getting a heroin addict to admit he's got a problem.
I accomplished that at Thanksgiving. And when I went home for Christmas, I did not have to clean up any machines. Holy shit. That's a first. So, yeah.
My mother-in-law's on Apple, and I just go, "I don't do Apple, sorry."
Well, you know, actually, Mac has such a different interface that that's fair ball. Because I've got a couple of Windows admins I work with right now. You sit them down in front of a Linux box or a Mac, and they have no clue what they're doing. Like people who program group policy. And if you've ever fucked with group policy, you know what a bear that is.
Big, you ever messed with the group policy?
The people that program that shit love self-torture. They just sit in the back room and flagellate themselves with whips.
And, you know, you're not terribly far off because that shit gets hairy quick. It's not that bad. It's really not to program. But if you don't know what you're doing, you can make such an unholy mess. So, anyways, yeah. But, you know, these are people who, like, understand the very deep inner workings of Windows. You sit them down in front of a Linux or a Mac, and they're just like, what's this thing in front of you? That's a keyboard.
Yeah, but they're equivalent to, like, GPs and then a brain surgeon. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's fair. That's fair.
Fair call. But, yeah, really, why would you? Fuck, what a boring job. I couldn't think of anything worse.
What, group policy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, you know, that's, you might not be wrong.
Like, no offense to anyone who does group policy, but, man, specialization.
Yeah, but, I mean, you need somebody who understands it really well to make a Active Directory domain work.
Yeah.
So usually what you do is you hired them on to set it up and then do maintenance on it, and they, you know, spend the rest of their time on Reddit and maybe only work, you know, a couple of weeks out of the year to maintain the thing.
Oh, yeah, take it all, you know, back. What? I'm being generous. Clever motherfuckers.
I'm being brilliant, way generous brilliant there. People. The systems usually have a lot more problems than that, so they do a lot more work than that, but it's, you know, once you get it set up and running, until you get the strange order from management demanding some, you know, something or another, you know, they don't have that much else extra to do. So.
Yeah, smart people. Very smart people.
Anyways, let's move on to this and we'll wrap this up. I've got a couple of quick. I just now noticed Foxworth was on. Too bad. We could have had him get in here and get really racist. he's good at it. So first thing I had
racism.
Is what I said, isn't it? All right. So first thing I have up in Digital Dojo tonight is a YouTube video, and it is a summary of a guy from Cuba, pretty much. He's talking and giving some examples, but it's basically going over what the populace of Cuba did when everything was embargoed and they couldn't buy new things and they didn't have the manufacturing to make new things, and all the people who could leave the country, you know, the ones who knew how to make new things, left. So, you know, different hacks people did where they were putting, you know, motors on bicycles so they could get around, and they've got like 2 liters they're using for gas tanks, and you know, different kinds of hacked up fans and stuff like that. But he starts talking about this concept of technological disobedience, of just grabbing whatever and making it work, and the hell with safety and the hell with, you know, because they had nothing else to work with, right? So it's actually really interesting to watch. It's all subtitled. He's, you know, speaking Spanish the entire time. But I thought it was really interesting to watch. Just not so much, you know, leave the politics out of it, but just, you know, when people were kind of cut off like that, what they did to keep things working.
Just even have a thought and an idea about a Cuban mechanic. Think about those guys.
Well, I mean, yeah, because it's not like you could just go down and buy a new part, right? Because
everything was embargoed. most of the cars in the country at that time were all American made.
Yeah, so they had absolutely no way to
couldn't get
stuff.
Parts, man. So the best fitter and turners, the best steel makers and engineers, you know, came out are in Cuba. If I had a high end workshop, I would want to hire dudes who've been living in Cuba for the last 20 years working. But
the thing is, in the video, that he talks about how the government actually put out manuals of how to screw around with technology, how to live off the land, how to fix things. You know, stuff you'd see today in like a Boy Scout book, right?
Yeah.
Just because their populace needed that to survive.
Brilliant.
It sucks politically what happened, but from just a, you know, it's real interesting to look into.
I bet you there's not a Cuban person out there going to sue Apple for like having, oh, it says it has an 8 gig hard drive, but there's only 6.9 on there. Because they know the operating system takes space.
That's probably true. And so to finally wrap it up, I have a link I found on Anime Heaven to the original Ghost in the Shell movie. Because God knows you need to start the year off with something good. So, good original cyberpunk there.
Oh, the rain scene in that. Oh, my God. I love that, where the boat's going through the harbor and and it's pissing down rain and the camera's panning around. And then you just think that's all hand-drawn, cell by cell, frame by frame. And slowly you get harder. Oh. And Ninja Scroll. Check out Ninja Scroll. Make sure it's the R-rated version and not the PG-15.
All right. So, anyways, that's going to wrap it up for tonight. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. I've got a whole new back end I'm working on for it that hopefully won't, fall over, sink into the swamp, burn down, whatever. Pure Decking every Friday at 10. Lore is doing several shows on the station right now. He has his Drunken Anime Plot. He has Missing Dialogues I always forget what he calls his new show because I know he bounces back and forth between the two. And, of course, the Galaxy 15 radio site, the Twitter handle, the feedback forum, the subreddit, TCP/IP via carrier, Avian. Get on the feedback forum. We'll see it.
Oh, get someone with a bowler to go around to Sard's place and knock on the door. Be great. But I think you're selling yourself short there. We're always working on the site. Yeah, we're always thinking of ways of working on it, but it hasn't fallen over in months.
That's true. That's true.
We've actually had a really good uptime lately.
And now we're fucked.
Yeah, now I've
cursed. I'm going to go ahead and start tweaking it. So yeah. Burned down. That one burned down, fell over, and sank into the swamp.
Wait, there wasn't even a swamp nearby.
Yeah, it was a feat, man. I mean,
I left the hose running. I'm sorry, Dad.
We scratched the car again.
Oh, Big was drunk. That's all I got. I don't know why I keep playing that.
My penis is enlarged now.
Engorged.